designing and creating and renovating golf courses, but all of the other great writing and things that he does. Forrest Richardson, welcome to the show today. You're joined by Craig Renshaw, our resident Great American Golf Pro, and your humble correspondent is at your service. How are you?
I'm glad to be with you. Good morning.
All right. Now, most important thing that we have to get to, way above and beyond golf, your wonderful daughter, Haley Lou Richardson, who is a Hollywood television and movie actress, is going to be on a television show coming up. Tell us how we can see her.
Yeah, you know, I think it's next Thursday. I'm not 100% sure. She's going to be on the Kelly Clarkson show, which I've seen a few times, although I must admit I'm not a regular watcher. And Haley's talking about a movie she has. Yeah, of course everyone loves Kelly. Haley has a movie on HBO Max, so, you know, yeah, you can check it out. She's the famous one in the family, even though you pumped me up. She's the famous one in the family, certainly.
Well, we're all famous for some reason, small or large, and fame is...
That's true.
It doesn't matter if you are a guy named Joe living in Iowa or a lady named Sally living in Seattle. We're all famous to somebody, somewhere, for some reason, and it's just that others are a little bit more public in their fame. And Haley Lou is one of these young ladies that stuck to it, worked hard, grew up here in Phoenix, went to school here, and she has made it as a Hollywood actress, and what a wonderful story. We can't wait to see her on Kelly Clarkson. One of our favorite entertainers and singers. America loves Kelly, and I'm sure they're learning more and more about Haley Lou Richardson and loving her too, and we're going to try to find that show and watch it. All right, you participated in a wonderful article recently about A.W. Tillinghast, and I know you're a student and a follower of Tillinghast. Of course, he, the architect and designer of Wingfoot, were waging this U.S. Open war right now, the course against the players, and I'm think this weekend is going to be really, I mean, I don't know. This golf course has really came out with teeth yesterday, finally. I think today even more, and maybe even more tomorrow. But the USGA setup is what you all were talking about. And I want to get to two things with you real quick in our moments here. And then Greg and I are going to finish the show up by looking at the leaderboard and making some predictions. So for 5 or 6 minutes, let's talk about this. Tell us about who is A.W. Tillinghast. And what about his design and his creation of Wingfoot?
Well, you know, Tillinghast was born into wealth for the most part, and he started designing very early in his 30s. His first project was Shawnee Country Club, which still today is a very famous and storied place in the East Coast. I think what you need to know about Tillinghast is that he... was a firm believer in having multiple choices for the golfer, and I think you'll see that to some degree. Even though our beloved tour pros all play a similar game, especially today with you know the driving length that they're capable of, and their tremendous work around the greens and sand play. Tillinghast was a firm believer that there should be choices, and I think Wingfoot is one of the best examples of that, in that it really makes a difference when you're coming into a green or setting up from the tee to a fairway, that angle. And he was also a firm believer in what's called diagonal hazards that didn't necessarily were on the edges of fairways or straight across fairways, but diagonal hazards that were formed by dog legs. He was probably, by all accounts, the originator of the term dog leg. He was a voracious writer, unlike a few of the famous golf course architects. Most of them did write to some degree, but Tillinghast just wrote. He was a regular contributor to several magazines. So he was a colorful character. A very colorful character, and even though there are hundreds and hundreds of golf courses credited to Tillinghast, there are only a few that he probably actually designed, you know, compared to the full list.
Right, right. when you drive up to a Tillinghast designed golf course, what is his signature? Do you know immediately you have arrived at Tillinghast?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
How do you know? What's his marks?
His marks are creativity, number one. So Somerset Hills, which is in New Jersey, not far actually from USGA's headquarters in Liberty Corner. Somerset Hills is really three different courses. There's a part of it that winds up through the hills and has little creeks, and then there's a part of it that's more open and almost a little lakes-ish in a way, and then there's a part of it that's sort of more creative with ponds and hills and valleys. And Tillinghast didn't try to create Somerset Hills as an example with all one type of golf hole. It's really, like I say, it's really three courses sort of fit together. Now, Wingfoot probably is more common in terms of the fact that it was a forested site, and he moved rock off of it and cleared it. And so, you know, the look and feel of Wingfoot is very, very similar on both courses. And today and tomorrow, we'll see this tree forested course that is just wonderful in terms of the way the holes bend and fit into that environment. But I think that of all the great, what we call golden age golf architects, I think Tillinghast didn't necessarily have one particular style that you could point to.
Yeah. Now, you said in the article that you were greatly appreciative of Mike Davis, whom I've known forever, and spent some time with him at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach last summer talking about some different things. But you said what the USGA brings to the table is one of the five factors that tournament golf comes, those five things come together in a recipe that creates what tournament golf is for the players, and one of them is setup. And you commended Mike and the USGA for changing course setup from day to day in order to provide different challenges. What I've said for years, Forrest, and you tell me if I'm going wrong somewhere here, you're the expert, and Craig, you can jump in too. I've said that these players are used to playing these courses, the same ones, year in and year out. They're used to seeing them on Thursday through Sunday, pretty much the same course, day in and day out. Oh, they change the pin here and there. Maybe the weather, the wind blows a little. But for the most part, the rank and file, PGA and LPGA and European Tour events are pretty much the same courses year in and year out, pretty much the same setup year in and year out, and they're used to that. What gives them fits and what creates carnage is what the USGA and other majors do when they change the setup from day to day. And we had a 2.69 increase in stroke average yesterday to Thursday, which is the most of any time it's happened, I'm told. So what about this course setup, and what was your suggestion before the tournament, and how do you feel they're doing now during the tournament, Forrest?
Well, those five factors are, of course, what Tillinghast created, the golf course itself, and then there's the stress of the competition, there's the weather, there's the setup that you mentioned, and I think the setup, this is where the USGA can either be a star and be applauded, or they can be criticized, as has happened, unfortunately, you know, in the past, and not just recently either. I mean, if you go back in history, the tournament setup, whether it's the PGA or the USGA, has been criticized. But I think the setup of any golf course, I don't have anything to do with it. I design the golf course, and then that is a child that is off in the world and living its own life, and the people taking care of it are deciding how fast the greens are and whether the rough is up or down and where the tee markers go and where the hole gets cut on the greens. And I think the USGA, for instance, on number seven, I would love to see the hole set up at 130 yards or 125 yards. You know, it's the shortest hole on the golf course, and the famous architectural writer back in the early 1900s, John Lowe, once said something remarkable. He said, the short hole should not be long, which is, obvious, of course, but he had to write it because there was a tendency to always try to make golf holes, even when they were designed to be short, play long. And that's what really makes the short par three at Wingfoot exciting, is the fact that it might be a half shot, it might be this wedge or that wedge or another wedge. Whereas if you play it at 160, 170, which is what it has been playing for the last few days, that's pretty much one club, and it's a full swing. And yeah, yes. think of the mental anguish if the field got up to number seven and was faced with something that they maybe weren't expecting. That's kind of what I was saying in my my notes, yeah. Really.
All right, you're listening to Forrest Richardson. He is one of the great architects. He's soon to become the 75th president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects. I believe next month, in a celebration of my birthday, you too will ascend to the throne. And we're very congratulatory of you and follow your career. You've won awards for Balin's Golf Links and many other golf courses in 8 countries, 20 states, and 30 years of golf course architecture. Forrest, thanks so much for being a friend of this show and being ready to be on in a moment's notice. We're going to talk to you soon. And thank you so much again, Craig. We didn't get to that leaderboard.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
There he is, Forrest Richardson. We didn't get to that darn leaderboard, but we're sure going to have an unbelievable Monday night, Craig, where we wrap up this U.S. Open. And these leaders, which I'm sure are going to change, sitting with Patrick Reed at 4-under and Bryson at 3 with Rafa Cabello Vera, Harris English, Justin Thomas, and Jason Kokrak, the only 6 players under par. What a great day. What a great week. Craig, we'll be back right here with everybody on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on KDUS 1060 Radio. Thanks so much for joining, and you.